We're in Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, we got all the way down to verse 7 the last time we got together. We're just flying through this book. And he says, I'm writing to all that be in Rome, verse 7, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the last thing we saw together. Now, we're going to continue on. Now that you, I'm sure you remember everything we've talked about so far in the first seven verses. So I won't remind you of that. The tapes are available if you'd like to get those or give those to friends. Of course, you're welcome to them. Now, he says in verse 8, first, this is the first thing I want you to know. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. There is no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There is no way. All roads do not lead to heaven. And that's what the world wants you to believe. Some of you, maybe you believe it. Well, I'm just going to take my own path to God. No, you're not. I mean, it's nothing personal, but you're not going to get where you think you're going. There was a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's going to seem right. It's going to sound right. It may sound logical. There may be great arguments for it, but the truth is, there is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said it to his disciples, and speaking to one of them directly, but to all of us, in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not I'll show you the way. You know, the churches today in our society that call themselves unity. I spoke with a reverend, I think that's what they call themselves, pastor, I think that's what they call themselves. There are other names that I would use, but this person said they were reverend so-and-so. So I said, all right, then I want you to know, are you a Christian? I want to know, are you a Christian church? Yes, we are. And I said, all right, then tell me what a Christian church is. Well, we love the brethren, and he's going through, and I said, all right, now let's cut to the chase here. I don't believe you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And he said, yes, we do. Said, you're telling me that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. You have to ask Jesus Christ. He is God in human flesh. Died, buried, rose again on the third day, ascended, the same body ascended in heaven. You're telling me that that's the Jesus you believe in? He said, no. He said, we believe Jesus is the way shower. But the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth. He won't show you the truth. He is the truth. He won't show you how to get to life. He is the life. Jesus is the answer. Why am I telling you this? Because Paul just said it, not in so many words. He's better at it. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Even if you want to come into God's presence to thank Him for what He has done, you must come in the name of Jesus Christ. How do you pray? You pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how you pray. Who do you pray to? The saint of love? The saint of real estate? The saint of travel? The saint of wars? No. You pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. That's how you pray. You watch movies, and in movies, it is true that sometimes they'll pray in that movie. I've seen, there are some older movies that are kind of fun, and you'll hear them pray. They'll say, oh, we thank you for giving us this food and for doing this, and we're just grateful to everything you've done, and right on, amen. They left out in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I give thanks to who? My God. How did He become my God? There is only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ the Son. You say everybody's the child of God. Really? Jesus said they weren't in John chapter 8. Jesus looked at a group of people, loving those people. He said, you are of your father, the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. And he's the father of lies. And you are of your father, the devil. Jesus said, some are children of the devil. Everybody can't say, God Almighty is my God. The only way that I can say he's my God is because Jesus Christ has saved my life, paid for my sins in full, and by faith I have accepted him and asked him to come into my life. And now I can honestly say, my God is an awesome God. Simon the sorcerer. He got baptized. He said he was born again. He was coming to church all the time. And he was amazed at the way Peter and some of the apostles, the things that the Holy Spirit was doing. And so he said, I got some money here. Let me buy that power. And Peter, and I don't mean to be gross with you, but to say it in our language, Peter says, you go to hell with your money. Now, in the King James, the Bible says, your money perish with you. That's literally what Peter's saying. You're headed for hell, and your money can go there too. This is a man who's coming to church pretending to be born again, and it was even baptized publicly. And Simon said something that is sad. Peter said, I see you're in the gall of bitterness. You're in trouble, dude. I added that part. And Simon said, pray to your God for me. Hear that? You and I, if we're Christians, truly born again, he is my God. He is your God. You don't have to ask others. It's okay to ask others to pray for you, but remember, you can come boldly into the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus Christ has paid the price. On the cross, he said to Telestai, it is finished, paid in full. It's done. The work is completely accomplished. And we're told, at that point, the veil in the temple, which, by the way, is 6 inches thick. That's some heavy material. It usually took about 80 to 90 priests to carry it in and to put it up. This is some heavy material. That material was torn, not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. God ripped it open so that you can come in. But how? Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for every one of you. Listen to this. We have access to the Father in prayer through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 16:23-24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, or up to this point, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. 2 verses I read to you. You ask the Father in my name. Now, people teach that means I can ask for anything I want, anything, and if I ask in Jesus' name, I get it. That's not what this says. We understand we're asking in accordance with his will. But if you don't understand it, let me give you a stupid example. So you'll say, that's silly. Well, a young couple, guy and his wife, they really feel a call to the mission field. They want to go on to the mission field and work for God. And she comes to him a few weeks after they really have been praying about it and really feel led. And she says, man, I got some, it's like good news, bad news. Well, what is it? Well, I'm pregnant. Ooh, that'll make it hard on the mission field. So they think, no problem, we can have anything we want. So they bow before the Lord and they say, Lord, we ask that you give us a baby that is supernatural, that doesn't have human nature. So the little one will never sin, never be a problem. We'll go on the mission field. It'll grow up by itself and just be perfect. Do you think they're going to get a baby that doesn't have human nature? No, it's a silly example just to show you. No, God isn't saying anything you think of in your head you can have. It's not true at all. You ask in accordance with his will. You say, how do I know his will? Oh, I was hoping you'd ask that. You have to get to know him. You have to spend some time with Him. Can He heal? You know it. Can He guide and direct? You know it. Can He deliver? You know it. What does He want to do? Why don't you sit with Him and ask Him and get to know your God? Paul says, it's my God. He's my God. Moses wrote the song. For He's my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. And they were singing that. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. Imagine all the people singing that. For He's my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, I'll exalt Him. And he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Not just for the ones that are doing great. Not just for the ones that really have a lot of money. Not for the ones that I know like Aquila and Priscilla and good friends of mine. But for every one of you, even the ones who are a little shaky in your faith, Paul says. Even the ones who aren't sure what's up. Even the brand newbies who can't even eat French fries, don't have teeth yet. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for every one of you. You want to pray? You pray to the Father. In the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say something. I have to hurry already because you're talking too much and it's just taking too much time. I want you to know one thing. Here's another silly, silly example. But I think silly seems to work well with us, doesn't it? You go to the grocery store because you do need groceries, and that's usually where they come from. And you go and you're standing at the counter and you put a bunch of groceries there. And the bill comes to whatever it comes to, and you pull out this check and you say, I found this outside. And I'm going to write this check for the amount. And you hand it to the person behind the counter. They say, is this your correct address? No, not even my check. I found that. Well, why don't you use one of your checks? Well, I don't even have a bank account. Do you think you're going to get the groceries? Do you? Dream on, little broomstick cowboy. No, you're not going to. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, okay, let's move it back into reality now. If you're not born again, you don't have an account. If you're not born again, you can't even get into the presence of the Father. It's through the Son. First, you must be born again. You want to write checks, you got to have a bank account. And then we'll worry about totals and things like that. You want to begin to cry out to a living God and be able to call Him my God, you first must be born again. Recognize you're a sinner. Recognize you're walking the wrong way. And recognize that there is only one way to pay for that sin, and that's Jesus Christ, and the sin has already been paid. And you turn and come to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Now you've got an account there, and you can, with authority, humbly come and say, Lord, You are my God, and I look to You for help, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Okay? And he says, I thank God for all of you through Jesus Christ. I thank God for all of you. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, when he says the whole world, he's speaking of the Roman Empire. Everywhere you went in the Roman Empire, if you mentioned the church in Rome, they would say, oh man, I've heard of them. I've heard about their faith. Do you know that most every church on the earth is known for something? And I don't even have to tell you this. Some are known for their beautiful artwork, aren't they? You think about the Sistine Chapel, and what do you think? You don't think much except for the paintings on the ceiling and on the walls, and those are magnificent, unbelievable. And that's what you think. There are some churches that are known for their finely manicured lawns. That's something you want to be known for. And it's, you know, is it wrong to have paintings? No, that's beautiful and that's great. Is it wrong to have a lawn? Of course not. But that's what some ministries are known for, their properties. One ministry has a gold-plated $400,000 elevator. It's known for that. And you think, my word, almost $500,000 for an elevator. Yeah. You know, some churches are known for their choirs. Some are known for their orchestras or their music. It's okay to have a choir. If you have a choir, it ought to be a good one. If you have an orchestra or music, it ought to be good music. Some churches are known for the prominence of some of their members. Did you know that so-and-so attends church there? No. There's a church back east that, and this is not, I don't know, I opened my mouth, didn't I? Well, Bill Clinton goes there. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know its doctrine. I don't know anything about it. It may be the best. It may be the worst. I don't know. But the only thing I know about it is the President of the United States goes there. Now, some churches are known for the prominence of the people that attend that church. And some churches are known for the amount of money they have. But some churches are known for their love and their faith. Now, when you walk around, you'll notice what churches are known for. There are times when I'll see people downtown and I'll have a North Country shirt on, and they'll say, "Do you go there?" And I don't tell them who I am. I say, "Yeah, I do." Now I'm waiting to hear what they're going to say next. I want to know what you guys are like. Because 9 times out of 10, here's what follows. "Hey, I've heard about that place." And there it comes. What are they going to say? What we want them to say is not they're the biggest gossips, not that they have the best music, or not that they have nice paintings on their walls, although those are great, and not except for the gossip part. You know what we want them to say? "I've heard about their love and their faith. I've heard about the faith of those people at North Country. That's what I hear. That's what I want to hear." Don't you? If you have to be known, like the church in Rome, all around the known world, the Roman world, the faith of that little church was talked about. Faith. Hebrews 11:1. The faith chapter. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." How easy is it to have faith? Jesus says you have faith the size of a mustard seed. You could say to this mountain, "Be you removed," and it would dump into the ocean, a whole mountain. Now he's not suggesting you run around sending the mountains into the water. The point is faith. Simple faith. You say, "Man, it's hard for me to have faith." It is not. Here is easy to have faith. You decide that your body doesn't feel very good. You're feeling very weak. And you're thinking, "I'm going to call into where I work and tell them I just don't feel up to it today. I apologize, but I'm sick. And if I show up, I'm going to spread it to everybody." And your supervisor or your manager or your boss says this: "Hey, man, it's okay. We hope you feel better." Simple faith. After 2 days of being sick, is not even calling and showing up expecting that you still have your job. How many of you have ever tried it? That's how simple faith is. That's how simple faith is. You called and you say, "For Christmas, we want to go on a vacation and we're going to go visit family and friends." So you call somebody and you say, "How much is the ticket?" And they say, "This month." And you say, "This much. And I'd like a couple of tickets, and we'd like to go to Southern Arizona, you know, where everybody wants to go." And that person on the other end of the phone says, "No problem. Here's the amount. You can pay for it by credit card or whatever, however you want to do it. And you can pick the tickets up this afternoon before 5. Faith is taking yourself down there sometime before 5 and saying, "I brought this money. Can I have those tickets?" It's that simple. Simpler faith is getting on an airplane. I don't know how they work. I don't know what those pastors. Do pastors run airplanes? No. No, those are pilots. It's the same idea, but pilot, he's the Roman. Never mind. I don't know what those pilots have been smoking or drinking. I don't know what they have fought about with their wives or their husbands before they got them. I don't know what condition they are in, but I am so childlike faithish. I get on there, and when I get to where I'm going, I never question that I'm really there. That's simple faith. It's easy for you to have faith. You just won't admit it. I mean, I buy a ticket to Tucson. I get off in Tucson and I don't go, "Man, I know this is Texas. You bunch of life. Where's the sign? Just show me a sign." That's never even crossed my mind. Usually what crosses my mind, "Okay, now how am I going to get to Burgers from here? Where do you go?" Because it's faith. You think you have trouble with it? No. Faith is easy for you. Easier than you'd like to admit. Now, look at Hebrews 11:5-6, or you can write this down. "By faith, Enoch was raptured." He was translated that he should not see death. "And he was not found because God translated him." God took him. And before his translation, this was his testimony: that he pleased God. That's what was said about Enoch. He pleased God. Now, without faith, the Bible goes on to say, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith, simple faith. Their faith has been spoken of all around the world. When you hear about the church at Rome, you say, man, there's persecution there, and I've heard about their faith. That's what we want said about the church in the United States of America. G.K. Chesterton, in 1970, over there in England, he said something about America, and I wasn't a Christian at the time, but after I became a Christian and read it, I thought, hey, you're talking about me. What are they saying about the church in America? He said, and he's an outstanding teacher, by the way, a gifted man of God. He says, with all the trouble in the world and all the things that need to be done, the church needs to get busy. And he says, if you're looking for the church in America, all you're going to see is the butt of an ostrich. Well, wait a minute, he's talking about me. What are they saying about the church in America? Or bring it down. What are they saying about the church in Idaho? Or in Washington? You know what we want them to be saying? Look how they love God. Look at the faith of those men and women and children. Look at them. That's what we want said about us. That's going to take a commitment, and it's going to take a real, true walk with the Lord. They shouldn't be saying we're gossips, we're cheaters, we're thieves, we're lousy in business. They should be saying, look at their faith. No matter what, they are Christians. They love God and they've got the faith. Well, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Without ceasing, I pray for you. When I get together, when I pray for you. And God is my witness. Why would he have to even mention God being his witness? And I'll tell you, you may have never thought about it, but it makes sense. Because Paul is a man of prayer, but you aren't going to know it. Because his prayer is privately done. And the only one who would know he's really praying for the church at Rome and of Philippi and of the Ephesians, the only one would be God, because Paul is private when it comes to that. Prayer meetings are specifically for a purpose. And we should have them. They had a prayer meeting to ask God to let Peter go free. God, they're going to kill him. Please let him go. They had a prayer meeting asking, Lord, we have been told to not preach the gospel. We need boldness. They were there with one mind and one purpose. But in your prayer closet, you got a whole lot of things going on and no one's ever going to know it. And you cannot be stopped from praying and you cannot be held out of any country. You say, Lord, I want to pray for China. China says we can't pray for us. You can't stop me. Lord, I want to remember our brothers and sisters in Russia. They're in southern Sudan. I want to pray for the government officials who are meeting right now in Washington, D.C. They didn't invite me in, but I can pray and be there, and you can't be stopped. Paul says, God is my witness. By the way, as you will study Paul, this may freak you out. As you will study the writings of Paul, you will notice that he was pretty tough on people. And because he was tough and hit hard, he was called unloving. He was called a man who wasn't really into prayer. He was called bigoted against women. And Paul was none of those things. Paul loved those people. And he would pray for them. But when he showed up to teach them, he was bold and he was tough and he hit. And he said, man, when I punch, when I start swinging, I don't shadow box. When I start swinging, I hit. And so Paul was a tough man, and so because of it, many people thought he was unloving. And a lot of people didn't want him to speak at their churches. Oh man, don't invite Paul. That guy is rough. Paul loved these people more than anything. You'll see him make a statement that I'd trade my life for yours. I would suffer for eternity if I could give you eternal life. Now that's interesting. That's a man who loves, but you couldn't see it out in the open because he was, when he came in, he was a pretty rugged dude. So you can't judge Mr. Paul by his covers. You can't judge this book that way. Interesting that he says, God is my witness, who I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. I want to come and see you. I want to be able to be there, he says. And I am asking God, through Jesus Christ, his Son, I'm asking him to let me come and see you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. He's not saying that they're lacking in the spiritual gifts. He's saying, I want to come and preach. I want to come and teach. I want to come and share with you what I've seen and what's been going on. That's what he's talking about when he says a spiritual gift. To the end that you may be established, strengthened, locked down in Jesus Christ and stand firm. And he says this, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. He says, I want to get there and I want to tell you some of the things God has shown me. I want to tell you what's been happening in my life. I want to tell you what's going on in Philippi and with the Ephesians and the Corinthians. I want to tell you all these things. And he says, and I know it's going to bless you, but it'll also bless me. Have you ever visited anybody in the hospital? I know many of you have. You go in there and you pray, Lord, give me the right words because I really want to encourage them. I want to be a blessing to them. You show up in the hospital and you say, can I pray for you? And they say, sure. And you pray for them. And then they start telling you what God's been speaking to their heart while they've been laying horizontal. And you learned more by showing up and listening to them than you ever gave to them. You went in hoping to bless them. You come out more blessed and going, oh God, I never thought of that. You go to the care centers and you see some of these older saints who can't get out anymore. And you go to visit them and you start talking with them and they've been alone all week and you're there and you're thinking, I just want to bless them, I want to, but they start telling you what God's been showing them in the Word and you walk out of there going, man, I just had a Bible study, I'm glad I showed up. That's what Paul is saying. I want to come and I want to be a blessing to you, but I know you're going to be a blessing to me as well. We're going to be a blessing to one another. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ his Son for every one of you. And that your faith is being spoken of throughout this whole world. And God is my witness. I pray for you all the time. And I'm praying God will let me come and visit you. And I long to see you. I want to visit. And I can share with you some of the things God has taught me. And we can share together some of the things that you've been going through, some of the trials. And we'll bless one another and encourage one another. Think about these things. When you pray, we'll share communion together now. When you pray, you come to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, seeking God's will. Remember your brothers and your sisters. Pray for them. Remember that no matter what church you're a part of, you are a part of the church of Jesus Christ that's on the earth right now. And people should see you and they should be able to say, look at the love that they have one for another. Look at the faith. It should be spoken of everywhere we go. You should be seen as men and women and young people of the Word of God. Crushed in or smashed in on all sides, but you don't collapse. Even as Paul said, shipwrecked, beaten, but something keeps you ticking. No matter what comes against us, we continue on. It's faith and it's trust in the Lord God. Some of you are going through right now trials that you're being smashed in on all sides, but you have a guarantee you will not collapse because the Lord your God lives in your heart. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your life. You are a temple of God. And although you may be smashed and even be, maybe someone's like smashing you on the top of the head, you will stand strong in Jesus Christ. He promised it for you. He didn't promise a life of all roses, but Mr. Ironside said it very well. He said, where there's roses, there's thorns. And where there's light, there's bugs. It's just going to be. As you, we all prepare to share communion, what we'll do, they'll hand you the bread and the cup on your own, in the privacy of your own heart. Confess to God. If there's something that doesn't belong, God will show you, you confess it. If there's something that you're a little concerned about, maybe someone in your family is not well, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's physical, maybe it's a mental or a spiritual problem, cry out to God in Jesus' name. Anything that doesn't belong in your life, let it go. Any bitterness, anger, jealousy, grief, turn it over. And don't carry that. It's too heavy. And the road is tough without all that weight. And Jesus has taken that from you. You don't need to carry it anymore yourself. Let's bow our heads together. When the communion comes to you, when you're ready in your own heart, you go ahead and take the bread and cup.